Now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a wonderful weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. As I've said before and will say again, we need your participation to make it continue. So please give us a call at area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. 415-841-4134. Josh is a little tired tonight, so perk him up with some questions, please. And do want to remind you that we do have a toll-free number, 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. So you can call that as well if you don't want to sit around on the regular old phone line. And, yes, if you would like to have our email address, that is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. If you would like to hear us as a podcast, you can do that by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like to hear us online instead of our pokey signal, you can do that by going to kalw.org as well. So, all that being said, and Debbie being here, so I know everything will be completely perfecto, we will move along. So we're going to start with a round of introductions and a round of questions. Here's the first. Jerry Nachman thinks we should impeach Vladimir Putin.
Thank you, Dana. Thank you, Dana. Joshua Kaufman can already see Labor Day approaching over the next rise, and he still hasn't bought any summer whites to wear.
It's true. And if Harry Truman could campaign against the do-nothing Congress in 1948, our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, wonders why Obama can't campaign against the do-less-than-nothing Congress of 2014.
All right. That is us, and began the questioning with Jerry Nachman.
Time magazine ran a cover article recently on the alleged 100 most influential people in America, one of whose photo graced the cover. Who was this allegedly highly influential woman?
Didn't see it.
I didn't see it either.
Give us something to go on. Is it Hillary Clinton?
No, it's not a politician.
Okay.
It is not a politician, but it is a highly influential woman.
Living.
Yes.
Oprah Winfrey. No, she's on the...
No, that's a very good guess.
She's on the cover of her own magazine.
Yes, every month.
Every month.
Yeah. No, that would.
Looking suspiciously thin. And let's see. So a woman is... not Martha Stewart.
She's not influential.
Influential, but not a politician.
How about Sheryl Sandberg?
No. That's a good guess.
Very good guess.
That's a very good guess.
All of these people probably, I would
are
say,
on the list of
deserve 100. To be on the cover more than this person.
Right. Oh, really?
In my view.
Is it Beyonce?
Beyonce it is.
Oh, there you go.
How did you get that out of nowhere?
Someone who deserves to be on less than Sheryl Sandberg, or it had to be Beyonce.
Very good, Josh.
Josh had a fight with her in the elevator once.
Now.
And, all right, give us another question, Jerry.
Okay. Who was or is the highest-ranking office-holding Jewish politician in U.S. history, not in the presidential line of succession?
Not in the presidential line of succession.
Say that again. The highest-ranking...
Who was or is the highest-ranking office-holding Jewish politician in U.S. history, not in the presidential line of succession?
Well...
So are you counting Supreme Court justices?
Yeah, that's not in the presidential.
Right, I know, but does that count as a politician is what I'm asking?
No.
Okay.
No.
So can I say Eric Cantor then, who was the majority leader?
That's correct.
Or
very good.
Soon to be ex-majority leader?
Eric Cantor.
Soon to be ex-member of Congress.
Yeah. Boy, he worked all his life to get to be speaker, and then he got the rug pulled out from under.
Yeah, well, good
That'll
one.
Happen.
Yeah.
Okay, good one.
All right. And Josh, why don't you go ahead?
Okay, I have a two-parter. So, my first question for you is this. Who won a Best Director Oscar? I wrote actor. Who won a Best Director Oscar for their only movie, the only movie for which this person is credited as director on IMDb? is a movie for which this person won a Best Director Oscar. That's my first part. And the other second part is, can you name the other five people to have won Oscars for Best Director for their first movie?
Wow.
So six altogether who won Best Director Oscars the first time out. One of them was their only time out. And the other five, it was the start of an ongoing career.
Movie,
the only movie.
Think about that. Can you give us a time frame for the first part of the question?
I would say all of these Oscars are since the 50s.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Sort of.
Yeah, you don't have to go back any further than that.
All right. I have to think about that. Okay. Well, just go over the whole thing once.
All right. Six directors have won the Oscar for Best Director for their first motion picture. One of them, it was their only motion picture. And the other five was the first movie that they directed in the course of what then became a directing career. Name them.
All right. Okay. I guess I'll do my questions and we'll take a call. By the way, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter at 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Or you can call toll-free 866-798-8255. Okay. Name the three people who were beheaded and appear on British postage stamps.
Ooh.
Oh.
Well, so I'll give you one guess each.
Okay. Charles I is obviously one.
That is not one.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. Well, then, okay. Huh.
Name the three people who were beheaded but appear with their heads on British postage stamps.
Was Cromwell beheaded?
After death he was, yes.
Is that right?
Charles II had him dug up and his... beheaded,
right?
And had his head put on a spike. Yes.
Wow, that's interesting.
Huh. Yes.
He doesn't count.
Yeah, no, he doesn't count.
So, all right, you said we could guess.
And these
one
don't
thing.
Have to be royal personages. Okay,
but,
so keep that in mind.
I can't believe that Anne Boleyn is on a postage stamp, but that's the
she
only,
is.
She is really.
Yes, she is. Yeah.
Huh. Okay, that was my first thought. But I thought, how could they put her on a postage stamp? Well, they didn't put Catherine Howard on a postage stamp.
No, they did not.
Okay.
So name the three people who were beheaded but appear with their heads on British postage stamps. Not necessarily currently, but over the last, few generations. Anne Boleyn is one. I'm still looking for the other two. And who were the only two people made honorary U.S. citizens in their lifetimes? Out of the nine people, who were the only two people who were made honorary U.S. citizens in their lifetime?
We had this recently. I think one of them was Winston Churchill. Isn't that right?
Yes, that is correct. One of them is Winston Churchill. Very good.
On the Best Director Oscar for his only movie, I'm saying his, it may be her. In the back of my mind, I remember Charles Laughton directed one movie. Was that?
Oh, Night of the Hunter. But no.
No, not Charles Laughton.
Okay.
And I guess
is
we don't...
Is that his only movie he directed?
I'm sorry?
Isn't that the only...
No, that is the only movie.
Yeah, okay.
Huh. Well, he didn't win an Oscar.
Okay.
I was being coy about the gender pronouns, but of course, neither of... it's not Sofia Coppola and it's not Catherine Bigelow. So, yes, all of these people are men.
Okay.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good afternoon, City.
Hello.
I got a little correction to make to you.
Okay.
You were asking the question, who was the first married couple ever to host Saturday Night Live? You mentioned Mel Brooks and Anne Bancroft.
No, I did not. I mentioned it was the answer was Paula Prentice and Richard Benjamin.
No, but you said Anne Bancroft was still alive. She passed away in 2007.
Right.
Well, what was the question, first of all, before we go on?
The original question was, who was the first married couple to host Saturday Night Live?
Okay.
He said Anne Bancroft was alive. She passed. She's gone.
I don't remember if I said Anne Bancroft was alive at the time, but okay, all right.
Yeah. I got a couple of questions. First, it's one for Josh with a classical music question.
Okay.
You know, Benjamin Franklin, he composed his 11 bagatelles for orchestra. What was unusual about the way he composed the work?
Benjamin Franklin?
Frankel.
Benjamin Frankel?
Could you repeat that for us,
Diana? Well, he composed a symphonic work called 11 bagatelles. No, it's B-A-G-A-T.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What was unusual about the way he composed the work?
Composed the what?
The work.
Who was it that composed it?
Unusual about it.
We didn't hear the name of the composer.
Benjamin Frankel.
Frankel, okay. Are you familiar with
him? No. Who's Benjamin Frankel?
Well, he scored Battle of the Bulbs, and his work has recently underwent a renaissance.
You're always calling and ask about film composers, but I never know much about...
No, he's not a film composer. He does some symphonic works, too.
Huh. All right. What was unusual about the way he composed the 11 Bagatelles... I'm trying to think of how you would do that. He put the notes in a bag, and I don't know.
We don't know.
You don't know?
No, tell us.
He composed it from a hospital bed. He was recovering from a heart attack.
I was going to say he was in bed. I was just going to be funny.
That would be a way to do it.
Correct. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he was scored on a score in a film called it was called Libel, and he suffered a heart attack during production. But when he brought him to the hospital, he told his wife to bring him fresh manuscripts so he could compose the Bagatelles.
All right.
Oh, all right.
Here's my second question.
Right.
Who is Drew Barrymore's godfather and who is her godmother?
Once more.
Who is Drew Barrymore's godfather and who is her godmother?
Drew Barrymore's godfather and godmother.
Hmm.
Oof. These are famous actors?
Yeah, I'll give you a clue. One is a director and one is an actress.
Right. No, I'm sorry. We don't know.
Okay, I'll give you one on the director. Here's the one who gave her big break.
Steven Spielberg.
You know who her mother, her grandmother is?
Drew Barrymore's grandmother?
No, her godmother.
Her godmother. No.
It's Sophia Loren.
Oh, okay.
Huh.
Interesting.
That's good.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sandra in West Portal.
Hi, Sandra.
And I have an absolute guess for the director of that got the Oscar on the first film.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know the only one, but could Clint Eastwood be one of those?
Good guess, but not quite.
Who?
Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
No.
Okay. Back to the radio then.
Good, thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you. And next call?
Hi, this is Gene from New York.
Hi.
I wanted to guess Lafayette for the other U.S. citizen.
No, it is not. Not in their lifetime, no. Lafayette is an honorary U.S. citizen, but they did not get the honor in their lifetime.
Okay. And I have a question for you.
Yes.
A list of cities, and I'm going to say either the old name or the new name. These are cities that have been renamed, you know, like Peking and Beijing and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So, Batavia.
That's Jakarta.
Very good. St. Petersburg, and there are two names.
well, Leningrad.
And Petrograd.
Yeah, very good. Tokyo.
Edo.
Very good. Volgograd.
Stalingrad.
Paris. Used to be called something else in Roman times.
What was Paris?
What was the Roman name for Paris? I used to know this.
What letter did it start with?
L.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but I keep thinking Lutetia, but it's not.
Yes. No, that's it.
Oh, it is?
Good.
Oh,
yeah,
all right.
Ho Chi Minh City, pretty easy, I guess.
It was Saigon.
Right. Yerba Buena.
San Francisco.
Right. Salisbury. Not the one in England.
Oh. Oh, the one in Rhodesia.
Oh,
yes.
Is now who knows what?
Wait a minute. Harare. Harare.
Yes. Okay, that's very good. Yeah. You got them all.
That was a good one. Thank you.
Yeah.
Josh, I'm sort of obsessed by that.
Go ahead.
The first movie. Was this director an actor primarily and went back to acting?
The one who only did the one?
Yeah.
No. Several of the other people on the list.
Yeah, okay.
In fact, several of them started as actors and then... Or, you know, switch to, or, you know.
Oh, what? Was it John Huston?
No.
Okay.
Right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. Sparky and Maddie, how are you all doing?
Hi.
First of all, Josh, that was a nice review on that Feldman disc that came out.
Oh, thanks.
And to answer your question, is Warren Beatty one of the...
No, that's a good guess, too, but not...
And the other person I had in mind was Robert Redford.
Now you got it. Robert Redford for Ordinary People.
Yes,
very good.
There we go.
Good.
He never directed any of
Oh, no, no, he directed more since.
Oh, he's on the second list.
He's on the list of the five people.
Part two, okay.
Part two,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, just the first time around. Honorary citizen, is Nelson Mandela one of them?
No.
Okay, now I have a question for all of you.
Go ahead.
I was looking at the list of most common surnames in the United States. And what is the one, there's only one on there that is also a verb.
Surnames?
Yeah.
Hmm, a verb.
A verb.
How about Grant?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Anderson, well, you can, Johnson. Let's see. You can
Jackson.
Black your shoes or black. There's some way in which black can be a verb, but I can't put my finger on it right now.
Yeah, but.
But let's not. Let's not go there.
Definitely a verb.
How about rose?
No.
Hmm.
That could be used for past tense, but anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is it one of the 10 most popular, best-known surnames?
No, it's the top 100. This
oh,
is
top 100, okay.
And there's only one in the top 100 that's a verb?
There's only one, and I looked up and down. And I wanted to make sure that it wasn't, you know, something that, like price, for example.
Mm-hmm.
That's more of a noun, but it is also a verb, but that's not the one that I had in mind. But price is also on the, like, you use a pricing gun,
sure.
Price a car, but you don't normally use it as a verb. Huh. But this one that I had in mind is definitely a common verb. And if you don't get it, I've already left it with your trusted.
Oh, good, because I'm getting nowhere. Operator. This is a good question, though. All right.
We'll let other people guess for it.
Yes, so we shall.
All right.
Thanks all.
Thanks, Berkey. Bye-bye. How about Kevin Costner?
Yes.
Dances with Wolves.
Kevin Costner with Dances with Wolves is another first-time Oscar winner.
And, Jerry, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Excuse me again. I'll name some musicals that proved a launching pad for what star in each one.
Are these film or Broadway?
Broadway musicals.
Okay.
How many you got? I like to number my list.
I got about 10.
Oh, man. I'm not going to write them down.
Okay.
Are we supposed to answer them as you go? Or?
Well, I'll read them all you can think.
All right.
Okay. I Can Get It For You Wholesale. The Fantastics. Fanny. The Boyfriend. Two for the Seesaw. The Music Man. Once Upon a Mattress, Girl Crazy, and Pal Joey. I'll give you two each.
Well, Barbara Carroll is the Music Man.
No, not Barbara Carroll.
Not Barbara Carroll. You mean the Broadway?
Yeah, thing? Yeah.
Is it not? Oh, I'm sorry. It's Barbara. Oh, she was just here in San Francisco. Not Barbara.
You almost said it.
Cook?
Barbara Cook.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
you had,
I get these confused.
Okay.
Once Upon a Mattress is either Barbara Streisand or Carol Burnett, and it's Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett.
And I Can Get It For You Wholesale is Barbara Streisand.
Correct.
Okay.
Very good.
Mixed up.
I'll throw in one more. New Faces of 1952 produced three people who went on to become big stars.
Alice Gosley is one.
Well, she wasn't. A big star. She's number four, but yeah, if you want to call her.
All right.
She wasn't as big as these three.
All right, why don't you go over the whole list?
Okay, once more. I Can Get It For You Wholesale. Well, we have that.
Yeah, that.
The Fantastics, Fanny, The Boyfriend, Two for the Seesaw, Girl Crazy, and Pal Joey. And New Faces of 1952 produced three well-known, very famous people.
Well, Girl Crazy is Ethel Merman.
That's correct. Okay, you got your two,
I think.
All right,
yeah.
Josh, did you?
I got my two.
Okay,
Mattress and Wholesale.
Okay, we'll leave the others out there.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Oh, me, right?
Yes.
Well, I didn't want to hang up. I was going to do Keith Flipper play Misty for me. Then I was going to do a wild guess for Redford. I didn't get either of those. Oh, I didn't want to hang up. I thought it would be rude. So I thought of a question, and that's not a real fair question, but can you name any major national ranked politician currently or in the past who supports sovereign Kurdistan? They're good fun. They
not me.
Part of their own nation.
Yeah.
So that's the question. And of course, you know the answer.
Yes, I cannot.
I don't think
of a politician right offhand who supports a sovereign Kurdistan. Are you there? Hello?
No.
Oh, sorry. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Tim in San Francisco.
Hi, Tim.
For the directors, for the Oscar for the first time out, Sam Mendes for American Beauty.
That's exactly right. Well done.
Yeah, and a couple other ones got taken, but what about Richard Attenborough?
No. Good guess, but not.
Just a guess. Okay. That's all I had.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. I hope you're enjoying the show. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255. That's 866-798-8255. Our panel tonight is well-known Bay Area author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman, who writes about classical music and also is a co-author of The Crossword Puzzle in The Nation magazine, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And Joshua Churchill.
Okay. What's the only U.S. state to have an official state language that is not English?
But not the only official state
language.
No, not
the only one.
Okay.
New Mexico.
No.
Okay. Is this a non-Indo-European language?
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
So it's probably a Native American language then. Like Oklahoma or Florida. How about that?
Good guesses both. Both of them wrong.
All right.
He says,
I thought this would be an easy softball.
Or Alaska, Inuit.
No.
Okay.
No. All right. What is the only U.S. state to have an official state language that is not English? It is, as Dana pointed out, not the only official state language for that state, but it is the only one that is not English in this country, and it is not Indo-European.
Okay. Debbie says Hawaii.
Debbie is correct.
All right.
Give Debbie a bell.
Yeah.
Hawaii is, yes, the home to the Hawaiian language.
Did you say that name is also a verb or an adjective? I forgot.
Verb,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Yes. In the periodical Day News, they have a listing of the top 10 breaking international and cultural news. They have the top 10 culturally diverse cities in the world. Let's go for the top 7. I'll give you number 7. It's San Francisco. Who are the other 6?
Culturally diverse.
Cities. Okay. In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
No, in the world.
Oh, in the world. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sure.
London.
They're number 2.
New York City.
Number 1.
Okay. New York, London, San Fran.
Los Angeles.
Number 4.
Okay.
There's only 3 left.
So are any of the remaining 3 that we haven't gotten in the United States?
No.
Okay, so we got to look elsewhere.
Hong Kong.
Two of them are fairly easy. One's going to be difficult.
What about Paris?
Number 5.
Okay. And
Number six is in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
How about
Rio de Janeiro?
No.
Or Buenos Aires?
No.
Or Johannesburg?
No.
Hmm.
You should get it.
We should, but we're...
There's not that many.
Or Sydney or Melbourne?
Sydney. Yeah.
Sydney.
That's number six.
Oh, good.
Now, number four, I'm going to read it to you.
Oh, you mean Sydney was the easy one?
Four is Los Angeles. The only one left is number three, and I'm going to read your description. This city does not have a great football team. It's also considered the most diverse city in the world in terms of language, given its size. The city's residents is just 503,000 people, speak a total of at least 153 various languages.
Can you give us a hint on what part of the world it's in?
Europe.
Oh.
How about...
But the key is, this city doesn't have a great football... Doesn't just have a great football team.
It doesn't just have a great football.
Oh.
It's probably... The franchise in the city is probably the most viable...
either Manchester or...
franchise in the world.
Manchester or Barcelona?
Manchester.
Wow. Manchester. Who'd have thunk? Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to give you five TV shows, and each of them starred a Academy Award winner for Best Actor. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All but one had already won their Academy Awards by this time. So five TV shows, they all starred a Academy Award-winning Best Actor.
And you want me to name the actor? You want us to name the actor?
Yeah, just the actor.
Is it all actors or actresses, too?
They're all actors.
Okay.
And remember, they're all Best Actors,
yes.
Not supporting.
Got it.
Number one, Hawkins.
Hawkins.
Number two, Highway Patrol. Number three, The Rogues. Number four, That Wonderful Guy.
Sounds like a great show.
Yeah. Number five, The Smith Family. So again, these are five TV shows that starred Best Actor Academy Award winners. Number one, Hawkins. Number two, Highway Patrol. Number three, The Rogues. Number four, That Wonderful Guy. Number five, The Smith Family.
Jerry, this is you, because I never heard of any of these shows.
I never heard of any of these either. The Smith Family. How about Jimmy Stewart?
No.
I don't know. I'm
surprised you didn't get Highway Patrol.
Oh, Broder Crawford.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See?
It just makes sense to me. Yeah, right. Broder Crawford, yeah.
Highway Patrol.
Okay, that's
Broder
it
Crawford.
For me.
Right. Huh. Yeah, I got nothing.
All right. All right, along the same lines, I'm going to throw this in.
Good.
Who is the only actor to play James Bond in a movie?
Sean Connery.
Who's the only actor to play James Bond in a movie that was mentioned by name in two of the Bond novels by Ian Fleming?
The actor was mentioned?
Yeah.
Sean Connery?
No.
No, that's too obvious.
He wrote the novels before Sean Connery.
He wrote all of the novels before the... No?
Before they started making movies.
Yeah.
You know, sort of before Sean Connery came along.
Yeah.
So, once more, who is the only actor that played James Bond in a movie that was mentioned by name in two of the Ian Fleming Bond novels?
Just coincidentally.
Oh, just coincidentally. Yeah. Not in connection with playing James Bond.
No.
I misunderstood.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, there's only been three or four. Pierce Brosnan?
No.
Daniel Craig?
No.
That's all the guys.
You have to think how long ago these
Yeah, no, written. It's got to be George Lazenby.
No.
Who,
that's we're
it.
Miss, no, we're missing one more, and I can't
I
remember
who
it is.
It's
Roger Moore.
No.
That's it.
Who is the only actor...
Pierce Dalton.
No.
You said...
No.
Timothy Dalton Trumbo.
Who is the only actor to play James Bond in a movie that was mentioned by name in two Ian Fleming Bond
We've
novels?
We've run through all the James Bonds.
No, you haven't.
That I know. Woody Allen.
No.
And that's right. He was in the Casino Royale.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
The number is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi. For your James Bond question, was it David Niven?
It was David Niven, yes. Who played James Bond in Casino Royale. He played the real James
Bond. Okay.
I heard that Ian Fleming wanted him to be the Bond.
He did.
Yeah.
He did, originally, yeah.
And then a couple other guesses for the director, Mel Gibson?
No, good guess.
Yeah, that's a good guess.
He directed something, didn't he, with Braveheart?
Wasn't his first directing...
It was The Man Without a Face. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And did Roberto Benigni win for Life is Beautiful?
No, he won Best Actor, not Best Director.
Okay. And then for the beheaded people who were on the stamp?
Yes.
Sir Walter Raleigh?
Right, Sir Walter Raleigh is one. Very good.
And my last guess is for the new faces of 1952. Was Eartha Kitt in that?
She was. That's one of the three. Very good.
There are two other
big names.
I have one of the last guests. Two for the Seesaw. Was that Hal Linden?
No, it was not.
Okay. Those are my guesses.
Well, thank you very much.
Good. Right.
Good job.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call.
Actually, I'm sorry. Slight correction. The play is Two for the Seesaw. The musical is just called Seesaw.
Okay.
Anyway, same show.
Hi
same
there, caller. Are you on?
This is Paul from the Richmond.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. Earlier you mentioned Ruth Cook, I think. And could Cook be one of the top 100 names that's also a verb?
Oh, good.
Debbie is nodding vociferously.
Yes.
Well done.
It went over our head, but not yours. I'm glad to hear.
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I can't believe that's the only one, though.
Out of 100.
You don't call Sparky a liar on the airwaves.
That's not
going to end well.
I thought that was...
No.
But that's your question, though.
No, it was Sparky.
Sparky's question. Okay.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Give us a call, if you like, at 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, or toll-free at 866-798-8255. We are a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Okay. Let's go back over those musicals that produced the big star, the launching pad for there. The musicals were The Fantastics, Fanny, The Boyfriend, Seesaw, New Faces of 52, produced three people, one of which someone just got Eartha Kitt, and Pal Joey.
All right.
I'm looking for...
Oh, wait. I got one more, I think.
Yep.
No, I don't. That's it.
I'm looking for directors who won the Oscar for Best Director on their first time out. Some people have already gotten Robert Redford, Kevin Costner, and Sam Mendes. There are three more, one of whom is interesting because it was the only movie for which he has a director's credit.
Gee.
Only movie.
And since we're halfway, I'll just add an extra hint on that. He's credited as co-director on that movie, so that was a shared Best Director Oscar.
Oh.
If that helps.
Oh.
You'll get that, I'm sure.
Is it West Side Story? Jerome Robbins?
That's exactly right. Jerome Robbins. The only movie in IMDb that he's got a director's credit for.
Interesting. Okay.
So still looking for two more.
All right. There are three people who were beheaded in real life who appeared on British postage stamps with their heads. So far we have Anne Boleyn and Sir Walter Raleigh, who was the third person in that list. There were only two people who were made honorary U.S. citizens in their lifetimes. Two people who were made honorary U.S. citizens in their lifetimes. Winston Churchill was gotten. That's number one. Who is the other? And these Best Actor, I'll give you four TV shows, and they all starred a Best Actor Oscar winner. So the ones we have left are Hawkins, The Rogues, That Wonderful Guy, and The Smith Family. So... What Best Actors starred in those TV shows? And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I've got an answer for the director question. Is it Ben Affleck?
No, good guess, but not right.
Okay, then Ron Howard?
No.
Okay. For the honorary citizenship, was it Albert Einstein?
No, not Albert Einstein.
All right, thanks.
Well, thank you very much. James Brooks, by any chance?
Yes.
Terms of Endearment?
James Brooks for Terms of Endearment.
Yeah. I wasn't sure that was his first movie.
It was his first movie.
All right.
So one left from the 50s.
All right. And Jerry, I think it's your turn.
All right. Jack Nicholson and Dustin Hoffman both played the same real-life person. Who was it?
It was Carl Bernstein.
Why are you laughing?
Because that's a good question. I've used the question myself. It's a good one.
You have used it?
Not on this show, but real life.
Yeah, Carl Bernstein.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's it. I don't mind. Okay, one quick one. What was the baldest presidential election in history? One guess.
The baldest?
Yeah.
Oh, Eisenhower versus Stevenson.
That's it.
Oh, good.
Very good. Okay.
Actually, they're the two baldest presidential elections because 52 and 56.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, just quickly, one more. What country owns what point of land closest to the North Pole?
Well, I'll say Norway.
No.
I'll say Russia.
No. I thought you guys would knock this off.
No, it's all very cold up there.
and blurry.
This could be
Canada. It could be Denmark.
It could be just an island, like a small island that happens to be, like Denmark.
Yeah.
Denmark's not a bad guess, actually. But it wasn't Denmark, was it?
It was Denmark, which owns Greenland. Oh.
Greenland is closest? I mean, yeah,
that's according to my source.
They don't own Greenland. They administer
Sure they
Greenland.
Do. They exploit it for natural...
That's true.
Very, very
whatever
good.
Whatever it
okay.
is.
Okay.
Good.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hi, Peter.
I was sure that the surname verb was chase.
Oh. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. It is good.
What is it?
100.
Chase.
Chase is the verb, surname.
That might not actually be in the top 100.
I don't think so. It's not that. I've never heard.
No. Well, Salmon Pete Chase.
Charlie Chase.
Those are the Chase.
Chase Manhattan.
Chase and Sanborn.
Chase and Sanborn. Exactly. Okay. Ask a question because we're getting giddy here.
Yeah.
I have another guess for Lost Heads and Stamps.
Yes.
How about Sir Thomas More?
That's a very good guess, but no, not Sir Thomas More.
Mary Stuart?
Not Mary Stuart.
William Wallace?
Not William Wallace.
Oh, okay. Well, I do have a question.
Yes.
Who built the largest palace ever built?
Palace.
Trump, obviously.
1,200 acres.
Not Donald Trump?
No. Nope.
Well, all right. Let's see. Derek Jeter?
No. I'll give you a hint. It no longer exists.
Oh, because it's the
Diocletian?
No, it's the Winter Palace in Beijing. But I don't know who built it. No?
No.
But you're close.
Josh is close.
Somewhere, I mean, it's Imperial China, right?
Yes.
Oh.
I said the Winter Palace, but I meant the Summer Palace, the one that was destroyed by the Brits.
Forbidden City, you're thinking of.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. But no, it's not that. It's bigger than that.
Wow.
About six times. Or it was bigger than that.
Yeah.
So you're looking for a name of a person, then?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know the names of Chinese emperors.
Or description.
No, we don't know.
First emperor, Qin Shi.
Wow. Oh. And what's the palace?
It was a 1,200-acre palace near Xi'an, where the Terracotta Warriors are.
Uh-huh. Oh, all right.
And who destroyed it?
The Mongols.
Oh, well.
Not nice guys.
No.
Oh, well.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, good evening. It's Ed. How are you?
Hello.
Very good. So for last week, I asked a question about if you divide 33 by one-third, what the answer would be. You probably can tell now.
All right, Josh.
I was listening at the time, and I was yelling at my radio, and I said, it's 99.
Perfectly well. That's it. So this week, I am not going to ask any question.
Oh, come on. I'm here. I'm here.
Show, but one second.
No editorials.
No editorials. Yeah,
but no editorial. I just totally protest the bloody genocide in Gaza, and I'm using LWR to express myself. Children are getting murdered every day. in the school.
This is an editorial.
Josh. This is not a political editorial show, Josh.
Wrong show.
It's just a quiz program. And, Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. On a lighter note, Puccini. Puccini wrote one comedy. Eugene O'Neill wrote one comedy. Alfred Hitchcock directed one comedy. Can you name them?
Ah, Wilderness, O'Neill.
Ah, Wilderness is the comedy and, by Eugene O'Neill.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith for Hitchcock.
Good.
That became a TV show.
No,
and Puccini's one comedy?
Oh, that's a hard one.
Because it's in Italian.
Yes, it is.
No. The Wacky Madam Butterfly, no.
The remake.
Yeah, with Molly Goldberg. And
All right. We'll leave it out there.
All right. Leave it out.
So we're looking for the one comedy by Puccini to go along with Eugene O'Neill's one comedy, which is Our Wilderness, and Alfred Hitchcock's one comedy, which is Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hi, Linda.
Would that be Girl of Golden West?
No. Oh. No, not classified as a comedy.
So there's some comedy in that, though.
Well, she doesn't die at the end. So in that respect...
For opera, that's a comedy.
Yeah. Right. But there's not a lot of laughs.
Okay. All right. The
Merchant of Venice is labeled a comedy.
Yes, so are a lot of things.
I know.
Okay. I have some questions about the value of money. And you've seen, of course, the crazy-looking $100 bills that are out now.
I haven't. I don't deal in that realm.
Oh, you should
realm.
Get to your bank more often.
Okay.
They are quite strange.
Really? Who?
Yeah. There's like a stripe going down Ben Franklin.
Who's
thing.
On the house? Oh, Ben Franklin. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right.
So anyway, I wondered if you know how much it costs to produce a $100 bill now.
20 cents.
Hmm.
20 cents?
No.
Well, it's very special paper, or actually not even paper anymore. It's sort of linen and something. Is that low or is that high?
That's high.
Oh. All right. Then I'll say 7 cents.
That's a pretty good guess. Josh?
Sounds good. Yeah, I'll go with 7.
Okay. It's 5.4 cents, so it's quite a bargain, actually.
Yeah, right. Sure.
Okay, now when we get into the coins, it's an interesting question. So can you tell me how much it costs to manufacture a penny?
Well, it costs more than a penny.
Yes, it does.
2 cents.
It's not that. It's 1.8 cents, so obviously very...
Almost 2 cents.
Not cost-effective at all.
No.
Now, is there any other coin that costs more to make than the face value of it?
50-cent piece.
Well, I'm not sure they're still making those.
50-cent pieces?
Yeah, I'm not sure they're still
making. They aren't? Wow.
Maybe
they are. I don't remember.
What would cost more than... Let's think about that.
These are American? Is it American?
Yes, U.S.
Well, there's only 3 choices left. So. Mm-hmm. A dime.
A nickel.
So you're saying a nickel, Dana?
Yeah, and it costs more than a nickel to make a nickel?
Yeah, what do you think it costs?
Oh, I'll say 6 cents.
Well, that's low.
How about 9 cents?
Yeah, 9.4 cents.
Ooh,
so, that's not a good deal either.
But I suppose this rises and falls on the availability of the materials,
exactly,
you know?
Exactly, exactly.
And how...
The costs have been going up for these metals. Okay, so the for the dime, what do you think the cost of that is?
11.6 cents.
No, she says it's less. It's also 9.4. You spend 9.4 cents, you can get a choice of a nickel or a dime.
No, actually, any more guesses?
No,
no.
Actually, a dime's a great bargain. It's little. It's thin.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much metal. It's only 4.6 cents. And how about the quarter?
Oh, probably that must be less.
Yeah, that probably costs a dime.
Yeah, I'll say 11 cents.
Yeah, very good. That's 10 and a half cents.
Ooh, all right.
So,
good.
Okay, and then just to wrap it up, what do you think, if $100 cost 5.4 cents, what does a dollar cost?
A silver dollar or
a bill? No, a bill.
Also, a dollar bill.
Also 5.4 cents. I'm going to guess that the bills are all pretty much the same.
Yeah, well... You're partly right. The dollar and the hundred are the about. Oh, you know, I told you wrong. Sorry, I told you wrong about the Franklin, the hundred.
That's all right.
It's actually 13 cents.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, but the dollar is 5.4 cents.
Sure.
Okay. So okay. All
good.
Right. Well done.
Thanks,
Linda.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, let's see. My turn?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to give you five states, and they each had only one president come from there. Okay?
Okay.
Five states that had only one president, so I'll give you each one guess. Number one, Iowa. Number two, New Hampshire. Number three, Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
Number four, Louisiana.
Hmm.
Number five, Indiana. So only each of these states had only one president that came from there. Number one, Iowa. Number two, New Hampshire. Number three, Pennsylvania. Number four, Louisiana. Number five, Indiana. Okay, Josh.
Yeah, I'm thinking hard, but I got nothing. When you said Louisiana, I went, oh, it's Huey Long. But then I realized he'd never actually.
No, he wanted to be, but no.
Iowa, Harding?
No, that's Ohio.
Ohio.
Yeah, they're all from Ohio or Virginia mostly.
Yeah.
And when you said New Hampshire, I thought, oh, it's Coolidge, but that's Vermont.
Mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. That's
Pennsylvania. I can't believe it. Only he's got one.
Mm.
And I can't even think who it is. Yeah, I got nothing.
All right.
Leave it out there.
Once more, each of these states have only one president that came from there. Number one, Iowa. Number two, New Hampshire. Number three, Pennsylvania. Number four, Louisiana. Number five, Indiana. So... And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. This is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. That's 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. Our toll-free number is 866-798-8255. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janosch.
Hi, Janosch.
Strangely, Huey Long was my immediate response. Actually, it was Zachary Taylor from Louisiana.
You're absolutely correct. Yeah. Zachary Taylor. Very
but
good.
Huey Long would have been a better alternative. I'm calling to speak to the elephant in the room, the fact that you all are pretending not to be vitally interested in the question about Turkmenistan at the beginning of the show.
I will admit to that.
I have been very much involved, and I'm here to say that the caller misspoke. He did not mean Turkmenistan, which is a...
I thought he said Kurdistan.
Yes, he said Kurdistan.
Yes, it sounded like...
No. I was going to say what...
threw me, because, you know, it's already a country and a very bad one, with a really, really bad dictator. Mm. But anyway...
No editorializing.
I think the question was who supports...
independent
Kurdistan or Kurdish separatists.
Right.
And actually, it's an interesting story in the news, which is that Turkey, the greatest enemy of the Kurds, is now supporting Kurdish independence in
Iraq. Because of that way it'll take the pressure off of them.
To hold back the ISIS.
Right.
Yep. So... Now we can all sleep.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm already asleep.
Thanks, Janosch. And
becoming a very political show.
Yeah, we'll try to keep it down. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, it's Hollis in Berkeley.
Hi, Hollis.
Hi.
Hollis Alpert.
No.
No. I know who it is. I know who it is, too.
I apologize if this question has already been answered, but when I think of the Fantastics, I always think of Jerry Orbach.
You think correctly.
Right, of course.
Very good.
Is that right? Good.
Yeah. He played El Gallo, yes, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good.
On the stamps, is Jane Grey one of the...
Not Lady Jane Grey, no.
Good guess.
Okay.
It is a good guess.
And then finally, the comedy by Puccini, Johnny Skeaky.
Well done, you.
Oh.
Johnny what?
Johnny Skeaky, one of the three parts of the triptych, Il Trittico, or the triptych. Oh.
Two out of three ain't bad.
No, that was excellent.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Call again, Hollis. Great to hear from you.
Great to hear from you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And Jerry, you have something quick you want to throw in?
Okay, let's see. Well, last week I had a question asking what was the last comedy album to place as high as number two on the Billboard charts in 1978, and the answer was Steve Martin's Wild and Crazy Guy. So just last week, oddly enough, a comedy album made the Billboard charts for the first time since Martin's album. Whose album was it?
It's the
Weird Al Yankovic.
Weird Al.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, I guess he's the only comedian on records these days. You got it. Okay.
All right.
Okay, one quick one.
We can ask Josh.
No, I got nothing but long lists.
All right.
Well,
okay.
I got a listy question, but it's easy. You'll get it.
All right.
So I'll throw it out there. Can you name the four chemical elements that have one-syllable names?
Tin.
Gold.
Tin and gold. Very good. I'll leave the other two for the listeners.
All right.
Jerry and Dana got tin and gold just like that because they're chemical whizzes. And Ed has already called in. So everybody else has a shot at the other two.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Oh, my God.
Matter Over Mind.
Yeah. Are you there, Colin?
Nice show.
Hi, you're on.
Okay, good. This is Alec in San Francisco.
Hi, Alec.
I think that the one-syllable elements left must be zinc and lead.
Well done.
Good job.
That was quick.
And because I have twice attended the annual Hoover Fest in West Branch, Iowa, I know that Hoover is from Iowa.
Yes.
And I highly recommend Hoover Fest. They have the World Hoover Ball Championship
every year. Hoover Ball.
Do they have a vacuuming contest or something?
No, Hoover Ball, I guess Herbert Hoover got quite fat in later life, and his doctors invented this sport for him to lose weight, and it's kind of like a cross between volleyball and throwing a medicine ball around.
Oh, okay.
It's fun to watch.
All right.
So I have a question for you guys about characters in comic strips. I want to know what central characters from comics had the following friends.
Go. Oh, Jerry.
Question.
Jerry likes
this. I love these kind of questions.
Yeah, these are all for you, Jerry.
Comic strip. Okay, thanks.
Okay, so here's the first list of friends. Howland, Churchy, and Albert.
Oh, those are Pogo.
Pogo is correct.
Oh,
good job.
Doc, Avery, and Bill.
Doc, Avery, and Bill. Doc. That sounds...
So this is a very old strip. And it lasted many decades, and it was originally called one thing, and eventually the title changed.
Gasoline Alley?
Gasoline Alley it was. What was the original title of Gasoline Alley?
You know, I don't know.
It's Walton Skezix.
That's right. Right. That's right.
Okay, last friends, Montmorency and Gloomy Gus.
Oh, wait a minute.
Montmorency
and Gloomy Gus. I hope I'm saying that right. So these are actually the brothers of the main character.
Oh.
It's like Barney Google or something?
Nope. Older than that.
Older than that.
Gloomy Gus.
Oh, Bringing Up Father?
Nope.
How about Casper Milktoast? I mean,
I don't think he had a...
He didn't have any friends.
Yeah, all right. Oh, these are his friends. Okay, no, you said these are his brothers.
Brothers.
Debbie suggested Little Abner.
No, not Little Abner. Older than that.
Let's see. Moon Mullins.
Nope.
Barney Google.
Nope.
He said that.
Oh, he said that.
He also had three nephews before Donald Duck ever had three nephews.
Oh.
And I don't remember all the names, but one of them was named Boytrend. And they also wore tin cans on their heads.
Tin cans on their heads.
This goes back a ways.
Is it?
Yeah. This is back when, bums were funny.
Well, it's not Casper the Friendly Ghost, is it?
No.
Because he had some...
Gloomy Gus sounds great.
He had some brothers or something.
I think we got this one.
It's Happy Hooligan.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Appreciate
bye-bye.
It.
Bye-bye. That's my kind of guy. Yeah. Not my kind of question, yeah.
Happy Hooligan. All right, let's see here. Since Josh is here, I'll ask this quickly. What was the name of the Roman goddess that the Statue of Liberty represents?
I didn't know what it was supposed to
represent. I didn't know that it was.
I didn't either.
Oh. Standing up with the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got nothing.
Okay.
Minerva?
No.
Diana?
No.
Don't know.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller?
Hi, is it me?
It is you.
Hi, this is Sue in Noe Valley.
Hello.
I think I should remember who was in Hawkins, but I don't. But Henry Fonda was the father in the Smith family.
You're right.
God, I almost said
Henry Fonda. Good job.
It was a terrible show.
Yeah.
That must have been near the end of his career, wasn't
it?
No,
it was in the 60s.
Oh, was it?
Or
yeah.
Early 70s, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It wasn't the end of his career. It was just a bad show.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Hawkins wasn't John Wayne, was it?
Not John Wayne.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Is that me?
It is you. Go ahead.
It is me. Okay,
yes.
Rick from Mill Valley. The postage stamp. Remember the 5th of November. I suspect it's Guy Fawkes.
It is not Guy Fawkes.
Oh, okay. And I got a question for you.
Very quick.
Quick question, maybe for next week. Three largest buildings in the world.
Tallest?
Largest.
In
an area.
Oh.
The Pentagon.
Yes, that's one.
Angkor Wat.
No.
Hold it over for next week.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Thanks.
Okay, we better clean up here.
Okay, mm-hmm. The names of the musicals that produced the launching pad for these stars. Fanny produced Florence Henderson.
Mm-hmm.
The boyfriend I thought you would get was Julie Andrews.
Oh, okay.
Just before
I was thinking of Tweety.
I was thinking of Tweety, too, because she was in the movie.
Seesaw was Tommy Tune. Mm-hmm. New Faces of 52 produced besides Eartha Kitt, Paul Lynde, and Carol Lawrence.
Alice Goes.
And this one is, I thought you'd get, Pal Joy with Gene Kelly.
Oh, yeah, right, okay.
The first-time director, the only one nobody got who got an Oscar for their first directing effort was Delbert Mann for Marty.
Oh, that's right. He'd been a TV director before that.
Yep.
Good job.
That's all I got.
Did it? Okay. States that had only one president, New Hampshire, Franklin Pierce, Pennsylvania, James Buchanan, Indiana, Benjamin Harrison. The three people who were beheaded and appeared on British postage stamps, Anne Boleyn, Sir Walter Raleigh, and St. George. St. George, the real person.
I don't know anything about him.
The TV shows that starred Academy Award-winning Best Actor, the ones that nobody got, Hawkins, Jess James Stewart. Played a lawyer. The Rogues, David Niven. That wonderful guy, Jack Lennon. Excuse me. And if we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman, and from San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Kaufman. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Debbie Kennedy and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. I'm sorry, I'm a little tired tonight. And have a great week, everybody. Please join us next Sunday at 7. Take care. Bye-bye.